Next day morning, when I went out for breakfast, and I saw people walking up and down, most of them have carrying a burger in one hand, a Coke in the other hand, and a mobile phone. And their heads were like this, and they were walking. And I was quite amazed, you know, that they could do so many things all together. Burger, Coke, mobile, walking, crossing the street. I mean, it was so incredible, in my opinion, that people could do so many things altogether. That's how I was introduced to New York. Since then, I have come back a few times and I have traveled a few places. But it was also to, you know, that impression has always stayed with me. And one of the things that I've kept repeating wherever I go is, while it is good to be doing so many things together, it is also a necessity that we slow down. The pace at which we are all moving today and the number of things we are trying to achieve simultaneously is creating a lot of problems in the modern world. People want to keep doing. And even, you know, Shweta in the train today said, what was the question you asked me? You know, you are happy as long as you are doing. What was that you said?
I think I was asking Dr. Ram Kumar, like, is there a certain stamina you have for the number of days you spend in a city? And because I know when I talk, like, it's always purposeful, right? But then you were like, well, it's fine to not just do it.
Yeah, I said it's fine to be. You don't necessarily have to have a purpose to be somewhere, to do something. You can just be. And that's one of the fundamental issues that all of us face. We have become very transactional today. You know, we need a reason to be somewhere, to do something. It's always about give and take. I am not willing to just be. And one of the first problems in the healing paradigm is that transactional is diametrically opposite to the healing process. Whenever you are transactional, you cannot heal. Whenever you heal, you cannot be transactional. You know, you cannot constantly be trying to think, am I getting the best? How much am I getting? How much more will I get? How much more can I squeeze? You know, like how I go into a mall or into a corner shop and bargain. In India, we bargain quite a bit, we negotiate quite a bit. You cannot do that with healing. You cannot be transactional. So, it sometimes is good for us to take a step back and endeavor to slow down. Nothing gets affected. You know, I speak to doctors, I speak to doctors of different fields, and they're all the time telling, oh, we don't have time. You know, we've got so many patients to deal with, so many patients to look after. And I say, it's nothing to do with the patient, it's all about transactions. You know, it's just about the amount of money you earn. Because if you slow down, you can actually give much better service. You know, by seeing more patients in a shorter duration. Today, cardiologists are the ones who have the highest number of heart attacks in the medical community. Why? You know, what are we achieving? Why are we, you know, all the time running and trying to do things? You know, when you ask people today, what is your purpose in life? Most people don't know what is their purpose in life. You all know the story of the fisherman, I think. You know, there's a businessman who went and sat next to a fisherman. You know that story. And saw him fishing well. And said that, you know, instead of one rod, can I get you a net? So that you can catch many more fish. And then what? And then, you know, you can buy a trawler. And you can catch even more fish. And then what? And then you can build a house. And then you can have a car. And then you can travel the world. At each point the fisherman said, and then what? And then what? And finally the businessman said, and then you'll be happy. The fisherman said, I'm happy right now. Why do I have to go all around the world to find that happiness? We sometimes lose track, we sometimes lose focus. And by the time we realize it, we would have compromised our health considerably. We spend half our life destroying our health to create wealth. And the remainder of our life spending that wealth trying to regain health. We don't regain it. So Ayurveda is a system, it's an Indian medical knowledge system. It's perhaps the oldest existing body of knowledge on the healing process. It's basically based on the principles of nature, observing nature, understanding nature, understanding the rhythm of nature and trying to teach us to live our lives in tune with the rhythm of nature. That's basically what Ayurveda is all about. Many a times, today we try to reduce Ayurveda to certain boxes, like certain oil treatments and massages, herbs, fixed diet plans, and we say this is what Ayurveda is all about. But no, Ayurveda goes much beyond that. It's not just about the body, it's also about the mind, it's also about your consciousness, increasing your awareness. Because without the mind and the consciousness, the body does not heal. Without us being fully present, the body will never heal. So in Ayurveda, we always talk about three levels of healing. One is at the level of the body, the second is at the level of the mind, and the third is at the level of the consciousness. For the body, you know, we do the diagnosis and we give herbs and oils and cleansing and, you know, the regular treatments. For the mind, it's very important to build the willpower, the determination, the conviction, the intensity of purpose to be healed. All of this is very important at the level of the mind. Because without that strong intensity, strong desire to be healed, healing does not happen. You know, I tell patients, many times patients come to us saying, you know, our doctor has told us to go for chemotherapy. We just don't want to go for it. We know it's got so many side effects, etc., etc., etc. And we tell the patient, if you're going for chemotherapy, go for it with a positive intent. Don't think about the side effects, don't think about anything else. Go with the strong desire that chemotherapy will heal you. Because if you go in for the chemotherapy, thinking about all its side effects and whether it will work, whether it will not work, almost certainly it's going to have a negative impact on you. So any system, any medical system, anything you do, it is very important that we think about it very positively. And so Ayurveda talks about how to build that positive state of mind to enable better healing. The third is at the level of the consciousness, at the level of bringing your awareness to the present moment rather than living in the past or thinking about the future. Most of us are either regretting the past or dreaming of the future. We are never living in the moment. And as long as we don't live in the moment, healing does not happen well. To be in the moment, one needs to be able to balance this body-mind-consciousness complex with the external environment in the context of space and time. Time is an important part in this whole healing process. So there are different ways of bringing that awareness. You know, we all know about it. We all talk about meditation and silence and chanting mantras and, you know, different such methods are there where you bring your attention to the present moment. You keep working to bring your attention to the present moment. This is in a nutshell what the whole healing process in Ayurveda is about. Depending on your interest, we can go into any of them. We can discuss it in greater detail, whichever you would like to discuss. But before that, there's one more important point, is that there is a system called yoga, which many of you are familiar with, and the teacher who wrote about yoga originally was a teacher called Patanjali. And he did not write about all the asanas and, you know, the physical postures that have become popular in yoga. You know, today yoga in America is all about a lot of different postures, which is good. It's not that it's bad, but that was a very small part of what Patanjali wrote about. He primarily talked about principles of how yoga can help you. And yoga is primarily for the mind, it's not for the body. Ayurveda for the body, yoga for the mind. That's the way they work together. And he said that whatever you do, be persistent. Whatever is the practice, be patient, be persistent, keep doing it without stopping, without getting bored, without wondering about the result. Most of us do 10 days of practice and then we are fed up. You know, we then go to the next practice. We do 10 days of medicine, we don't see the result, we move to the next medicine. We do 10 days of Atkins diet, not working, we move to the next diet, and then the next diet, and then the paleo diet, and then the Gundry's diet. You know, you've got a whole range of diet plans to choose from. We get bored of everything. Healing does not happen through changing practices. Healing is a continuous process. It's not about when you are sick, you heal. Healing has to happen every day. Every day there are toxins built up in the system, and every day those toxins need to be flushed out. And every day nourishment has to be given. That is healing. Healing, you don't wait to heal after you get a disease, which is what most of us in the 20s and 30s do. You know, we think we are infallible. Nothing is going to happen to us. But we have to take care of ourselves every day. And if we have to take care of ourselves every day, we need to build in a practice. Whatever it be. You know, for the body there has to be a practice. Just as you take a shower every day. You know, every morning or every evening, whenever you take a shower, that's a practice. But that is just one small practice. There are many more practices that we need to do for the body. There are many more practices that we need to do for the mind, and we need to do for the consciousness. So, of 24 hours in a day, we need to be able to devote at least one, if not 2 hours, for our own self. There is no use saying we are racing against time, we have no time, time waits for no one. You know, we hear all these fanciful sayings. We have to have time for ourselves, otherwise why are we running? We need to have time to heal our own selves. So for that, Patanjali says a practice is mandatory. Whatever the practice you choose, it can be any system, it can be any form, it can be anything you choose. But that has to be continuous, persistent, long-term, without getting bored, without thinking of the result. It is the result, it is that obsession with the result that makes us keep jumping from practice to practice. But if we select a practice and stay, enjoy the practice, enjoy the journey rather than focus on the goal, then one finds that over a period of time, healing is happening at very deep levels within us. So that's a very important message that this yoga teacher, the primary yoga master gives us. Keep practicing, keep practicing. So even if it's diet, you need to follow a practice consistently. If it is medicines, you need to consistently take it. If it is yoga practice, it has to be consistently done. If you're going to the gymnasium, there has to be a consistent practice. Whatever you choose. In an ideal scenario, it should be every day, same practice, same time, same place for the same duration. every day, same practice, same time, same place for the same duration. That is the practice that yields the best results. And you will see that it's you know, all the achievers have had practice backing them. You know, in the sports field, nothing is achieved without practice, without training. Training for a reasonable length of time. Now that practice is very difficult to do on your own. So that is why you will find even the most accomplished sports people still having a coach. Because without a coach, one can go off track. One needs somebody to guide continuously. Because most of us don't have self-discipline. We don't have the determination to keep up the practice. So a coach, a guide, a teacher, whatever, in India we would call the person an acharya or a guru. One who will keep you focused on the practice. It's very important. It's an equally important part of the whole healing process. Because while you would like to be objective about your own practice, you would like to be objective about your own healing, the problem is most of us don't have that capacity. Our thinking is too clouded, especially when we are not well. And hence it's always good to have an objective third party viewpoint. Somebody who can consistently look at us from a detached space and advise us what exactly we need. So a coach, teacher, guide, physician, practitioner, whatever you call, it's good to have somebody whom you can go to consistently, who knows you over a period of time. You know, the problem is we also change doctors. You know, every 10 days or every few months, a new doctor, a new practitioner. Everything we are changing. You know, the modern world, we are happy to keep changing. So it's important that we have somebody with whom we can share over a period of time, because when a healer or a practitioner gets to know you over a period of time, the results are much better. It's not about a one time or a two, you know, you meet the practitioner twice and they know everything about you. Sometimes it can take months and years to get to know a person. So this is the broad framework in which a system like Ayurveda functions. You know, we talk about healing on three levels: body, mind and consciousness. We talk about the need to stay with a practice, whatever it be, you know, and to be as aligned to nature as possible, to the rhythm of nature as possible. Because most of us are out of sync. You know, we are awake all night, we are asleep when we are meant to be awake, we are awake when we are meant to be asleep, we are eating at the wrong time, you know, we are doing everything wrongly. If we don't align ourselves to the rhythm of nature, at some point the biorhythms within the body start getting affected, and consequently our entire health will start getting compromised. So we need to have a rhythm. Nature has a rhythm, we have a rhythm. We consciously, deliberately choose to go against that rhythm. So Ayurveda keeps telling us, be aligned. Stay with the rhythm as much as possible. And none of this is difficult. It's, you know, people think that Ayurveda is very difficult to practice. It's not difficult to practice. Nothing is difficult if you desire to make your healing a priority. The problem for us today is healing is the last priority. You know, everything else comes first. You know, we will say family, wealth, relationships, everything else comes first. Healing is last. But unless you have health, unless you are healing, it's very difficult to take care of the rest. And the moment you desire to make healing a priority, you find that you have a lot of time. There's no dearth of time if you decide that you want to be well. So these are the broad principles. Now you can tell me in which direction we should go. Because, you know, I can sit here and keep talking for several hours. So it's much easier to just, you know, to interact, to have questions and answers, to share, to discuss. Yeah.
I'm with a big believer in Dr. Robert Morris, who is primarily into the lymphatic system and the base and alkaline situations. And he uses mainly a fruitarian diet, fruits, berries, and melons. And I'm just wondering how that practice that we're both involved in can match up with Ayurvedic practice.
Yeah. So I'm not too familiar with those theories, but what I would tell you again is some principles of eating and diet.
Mm-hmm.
Like when you say fruitarian,
mm-hmm.
Now you again go to Dr. Gundry, who's a cardiologist based in California and who's one of the most famous cardiac surgeons, and you will see his program is called Diet Evolution, and he will say fruits are not good for you.
Oh.
Don't get disheartened. don't get disheartened. This is what he would say. Now what Ayurveda would say is too much of a good thing can also be bad. This is what Ayurveda would say. It would not say fruits are bad for you, but too much of a good thing can also be bad. So we need to balance everything. Moderation has to be a key word in what we do. You need to eat what you can digest. So in Ayurveda, what we say is keep observing yourself. Watch your hunger. Watch your bowel movements. You know, in Ayurveda, we are obsessed with bowel movements. we are extremely obsessed with bowel movements. And much of America is not obsessed with bowel movements. I know, you know, people in America who haven't used the toilet for 2 weeks and 3 weeks. It's a very common occurrence. And that is one of the main reasons for a lot of their health issues. You know, I was once in a doctor's clinic here looking, and she asked me to consult her nurse who had severe migraine issues and for many, many years. And after looking at everything, the major issue was her bowel movements. And I said, just give her castor oil for a week and she'll be okay. And the doctor couldn't believe it. She said, how can you connect such a complicated problem to a simple non-issue like bowel movement?
Castor oil.
Castor oil. Because I didn't have any medicines here, you know, we don't have medicines here. So I said castor oil is easily available and use it. And she had castor oil for a week and the headache is gone. And the doctor just could not believe it, you know. She said,
well, is that all she had? Like fasting with castor oil?
Yeah, that's all.
Now fasting, is that a part of the, is that part of the
So day? Fasting is, again, depending on the situations. We'll come to fasting. Before that, I'll tell you some of the principles of diet, you know, of how to eat. You eat when you are hungry. You eat, you know that you can eat when you have had good bowel movements. Bowel movements are a great indicator of the state of your health. I can go into great detail, but I won't do that now. But just so you know, if you observe your bowel movement, you will start to know when you are doing well and when you're not doing well. And based on that, if you eat, you will find that you're doing much better. For example, if your stool is hard, you drink a lot more warm water. You soften it. So there are different ways in which you adjust your intake of food and liquid based on your bowel movements. Then the next principle is you need to eat at regular intervals. You know, it should not be sporadic. Ideally, the hunger will come at periodic intervals. Hunger is not erratic. It's not that, you know, I feel hungry at 10 o'clock and then tomorrow I feel hungry at 11 o'clock. No. Generally, if you are eating well, if you are, you know, sleeping well, and if you are having good bowel movements, hunger will be periodic. And at the same time, it comes every day, and it's important to eat when you are hungry. Hungry in the stomach. We have to make a distinction between hungry in the stomach and hungry in the tongue. You know, most of us are hungry only in the tongue. You know, we keep snacking, we eat when we are restless, we eat when we are bored, we eat when we are angry, we eat because it is time to eat, because we have good company. So many reasons other than hunger. We have to feed hunger and eat. Another important principle is eating the right quantity. Our big issue today is we eat way too much. Much, much more than what we actually need. Now, today Shweta got me a big cheesecake on the way here. I'm not supposed to say that.
No, I'm glad you shared.
It was an Ayurvedic.
Yeah.
So we believe it.
Sorry?
Juniors.
What do you?
Junior.
Why did you say yes?
Yes.
Why did you say yes?
Oh, because I like it. And it is my first cheesecake in 2 years. So Ayurveda does not reject anything. Ayurveda is only saying do it in moderation.
Alan, can you actually pass the bowl around?
No.
I'm sitting on my stomach.
So we do need to be very aware of how much we eat. Generally, we need very small quantities. We can fill half our stomach with solids, a quarter with liquids, and leave a quarter empty. This is what is told. You will find that there are many religions which also talk about it. You know, like in the Quran, it is said 1/3 of the stomach with solids, 1/3 with liquids, and 1/3 empty. And which basically means that you don't eat till you are full. You stop much before that. You don't treat your stomach as a garbage bin. You know, in America, the big problem is everything is supersized. What is small here is extra large for me. You know, it's a very big challenge. But you try to eat everything, it only hurts your system. So you eat in quantities. The quantity is critical. Whatever you eat, you know, we were just discussing that quality is secondary to quantity. Because you eat, like, fruits are good, but fruits in large quantities are bad for you. Nuts and seeds are good, but nuts and seeds in large quantities are bad for you. So we need to be very mindful of the quantity that we eat. And we also need to be, of course, very mindful of the processed food. I think, you know, that is a big issue. A lot of processed food that we are all having. Processed and packaged food is definitely not a good idea. Ideally, freshly prepared food, yes.
Can you please repeat how much the quantity should be for...
You fill 2 parts of your stomach with solids, 1 part with liquid, and 1 part is empty.
Thank
you. So it basically means sipping liquid as you eat. Sipping, not gulping. Small quantities of liquid as you eat the solids, and at a particular stage you will feel that a couple more of more spoonfuls and you will be full. You will start getting that feeling. Don't take those couple of more spoonfuls.
How often during the day would you do? Would it be 3 meals a day or 5?
It would be when you are hungry, and if you're really looking at hunger, it would come two or three times a day. It would not come more than that. The idea of having 5 or 6 small meals in a day is again not something that Ayurveda encourages. It's we are always saying give rest to your system also. You know, you don't want it to be overheated.
You mentioned sipping liquids. A lot of people talk about not drinking water while you're eating.
That's because people drink a lot of water. We are talking about small quantities.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when you cook food, if you add a little water, it cooks better.
Yes.
It's the same thing in the system also.
It always seems strange to me to not drink.
But that's only because people drink a lot of water.
Because you shouldn't have so much.
Yes.
Oh,
yes, yes. Just small quantities you keep sipping,
mm-hmm.
and ideally hot water, warm water,
mm-hmm.
not water with ice, which is again a big problem here. You know, anything cold is more difficult to digest. Cold solidifies, blocks the channels. Now, Ayurveda is all about common sense. You know, that cold freezes and blocks the channels. Heat melts and allows flow. So, this body has also got many channels. You know, the arteries, the veins, the capillaries, the nerves, the bones, the muscles, these are all channels, and they're all conducting. They all want to be clear to enable good conduction. The more you have cold, the more you are creating blocks in the system.
What do you think of raw? Because there's this big thing, like some people say,
raw diet is good if you can digest it.
Yeah.
Generally, raw food is good to eat if you are physically very active. If you are physically inactive, if it's a sedentary lifestyle, then you need to eat cooked food. It's easier to digest.
Yeah, that's what I find too. But like, their argument is like, when you cook, you lose all the nutrients.
See, the quantum of nutrients that your body needs is very little. You know, the minerals, the vitamins, these are all trace elements in the body. It's way hyped up. It's too much. You know, you don't need so much. Proteins. Now, the whole protein revolution is way too hyped. Your body does not need so much. You take so much of protein, you will feel heat in the system. Proteins are good for people who are physically very active, sports people, athletes. The whole idea of proteins came up, you know, after the, I think, 76 or 1980 Olympics, when the whole of Eastern Europe developed the protein products to help their athletes win Olympic gold medals. And then they suddenly realized it's a great industry. Today, nutrition is a $1 billion industry. And that is why you have proteins, vitamin supplements, mineral supplements. We don't need so much. What you eat should be digested. If you digest well, you sleep well, you exercise well, and you have a relatively stress-free life, none of this matters. And all of this you can be in control of. You don't need to depend on anybody to tell you what you need. You can easily manage your own life. Now, yeah.
No,
you had asked about fasting.
What if you're suffering from a terminal disease?
Yeah, so when you are suffering from a terminal disease, the situation changes a little bit. When you are suffering from any condition, if in the initial stages you're not able to manage it on your own through your own diet and lifestyle, etc., then you are going to a consultant or to a practitioner or a physician. And you are following the advice of that physician. You have to be able to follow that to the fullest. Like I told you earlier, you know, you have a teacher or a guide or a physician, you surrender to the process completely. With absolute conviction, you follow it. So there the rules change. It is not necessarily the same rules. For a normal person, we are talking about moderation, balanced diet, incorporating all the tastes, eating when you are hungry. But when there is a health issue, some of this will change. Because you will need to eat based on that health issue. There are certain imbalances. So, based on those imbalances, you have to eat the food that corrects those imbalances. there the situation changes. So in Ayurveda, when we talk about dealing with disease, we are talking disease of any kind. We are not going straight into the terminal disease, but disease of any kind, we are talking about a combination of diet, herbs, and treatments which are cleansing and nourishing. Now, at the physical body level, we are always talking about cleansing and nourishing. You can do it on a daily basis also, cleansing and nourishing. Cleansing and nourishing at the physical level, cleansing and nourishing at the mind level also. So, in a particular context, Ayurveda will say health is the dynamic balance between the nutrition and the toxins in the